Today, where we'll land, we're having on a guest that has never actually been on the show before, even though he is one of your state representatives. Everyone say hello to John Jacob. He is running for re-election for state representative on the Republican ticket for District 93. Good morning, John. Welcome.
Good morning, Kayla. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm so glad you're here. I really, really want to sink my teeth into some of these primary campaign contributions. But before we do that, for those of our listeners who don't really know you, I do want to preface that District 93 includes pretty much the south side of Indy. And John, I'll be honest with you as well. I don't know a ton about you. So can you kind of give us your quick elevator pitch as to why Hoosiers in District 93 should vote for you?
I'm a born-again Christian. I've worked for the government for almost 30 years and worked for a government watchdog group. I've been a street preacher for years. I'm an evangelist and father, grandfather, and been working in abortion abolition. And this is kind of what got me into the political battle, is because I've been working to push forward Representative Curtin Isley's bill to abolish abortion in Indiana for almost 4 years. That was starting back in 2017. And what got me into the battle is that the legislators refused to abolish abortion in Indiana. We had a bill, they say they're pro-life, but they refused over and over and over. And so I felt like the Lord finally called me to run back in 2019 to run for office in 2020. And I challenged the incumbent, and the incumbent representative at that time, she had 7 times the money that I did. And the Lord graciously allowed me victory. And I just tell people, you know, the bottom line is that I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. And so when I promise people something, you know, I'm going to deliver on that. And basically what I believe is I believe that government should operate within the boundaries of the U.S. and state constitution.
When it comes to your district, something I want to point out about you, there was some redistricting that occurred, right? So your district doesn't quite look the same as it did.
Oh, that's absolute, yes.
That's one way to put it, huh?
District 93 was actually the far south side of Indianapolis and the very northern part of Johnson County, which is very rural, very, very conservative. So it made the district very, very red, very Republican, and just had an immense amount of support. Well, the establishment swamp knew that. So they just hacked that district literally in half and shoved me further up into Marion County, took the south side of Indianapolis, and they gerrymandered it in such a way, you know, they said they had to square it up and everything else. I mean, they did not. It looks like a mangled mess. They literally looped in on the left, on the west, and on the east end, literally 2 people, so that they would have the options of either running 2 of those people against me in the primary. And, you know, and by God's providence, those 2 people, one stepped out of the race because of some personal issues, and then the other person was a former rep. That person chose not to run. But even the Democrats, they even were commenting in the political news. I mean, this is the Democrats saying this. They said the Republicans are actually gerrymandering one of their own out. I mean, they said that they gerrymandered District 93 so that they could manipulate it and use it against me.
Well, that's kind of what brings us to our topic today. And the main reason I wanted to have you on the show is because I couldn't help but notice, thanks to a buddy who really, quite frankly, pointed it out to me, your primary challenger is being funded big time by the Republican establishment to the tune of almost $500,000. When my buddy showed me this, my jaw about dropped. And let's face it, my friend, you don't exactly have that kind of cash. So I wanted to bring you on and just point blank ask you, why do you think that is? Why does she have all this money and you don't?
Well, the bottom line, and by the way, it's over $500,000. Although the HRCC did a little over $490,000, there was some former reps that pulled in, so the grand total is over $500,000.
So we're over the $500,000 mark now. Okay.
Yes, it is over $500,000. By the way, just so our listeners understand, an average House campaign race is about $25,000 to $30,000.
I was going to ask you that to put it into perspective. So now when folks hear that number of over $500,000, now your jaw really better be hitting the floor.
Right. You're talking 20 times the average House campaign race. So the bottom line is they're putting that money behind is because they want to shut me up. state, because I've been working with Representative Curtin Isley, who many people I'm sure in your area know. Mm-hmm. He's a freedom fighter. He loves liberty. He loves the Constitution. He's standing for we the people. And I have went in there, hit the ground running, and I've worked with Curtin Isley to try to literally, I tell people, to drag the Republican establishment swamp back to the Republican platform. I say there's literally only two Republicans truly in that state legislature, and it's Curtin Isley and myself. And because we've been trying to drag them back, we've been running legislation, and we've been preempting. We've been putting legislation out, telling them, letting them know. We've been letting it out. We've been putting it out there. I mean, for example, constitutional carry. I let the Republicans.
Oh, yeah, and I want to touch on that too, John.
I'll get to that, but yeah, but we can go back to that. But I mean, there's legislation. It's not like I'm operating in the dark. I'm letting them know. They know what I'm going to be doing. I mean, they know what I'm standing for, and I've told them over and over. You know, I mean, I'm what you see is what you get, and mm-hmm. I press them really hard on these issues. And because I'm so vocal, and because I've been so animate and just aggressive in trying to try to pull them back to what they should be doing, and that is upholding their God-given oath to uphold the U.S. and state constitution and stand for we the people. And because of that, they want to shut me up. They want to shut me down and get me out.
I'm curious, do they normally spend that kind of moolah, I mean, over $500,000, to defeat Democrats in a general election here in Indiana? Or are you just that special, John?
Kayla, I don't know that I want to. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm special. I don't know the entire history of the political landscape in Indiana, but I have never known a race where they've literally launched over $500,000 to try to unseat somebody.
And it's not just you, my friend. I've been going through some of these campaign contributions. I mean, there's obviously, you know this, there is a lot to sort through, and I'm just now touching the tip of the iceberg here. But you're not the only one that the Republican establishment is forking over a lot of cash for. But I just want to ask you, if I can, because you do seem like such a cool, transparent fella here. How is it for you at the State House knowing that they essentially want to run you out? Is that just awkward?
You know, I just, you know, when we're in the chamber and everything else, it's cordial. You know, it's just, you know, hey, how you doing? I mean, I'm nice to them. And there are a lot of them that are polite to me. So, I mean, they'll, you know, if I say hello, they'll say hello, you know, hey, have a good day or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's about as far as it goes. Some of them I've talked with. Some of them I've just called them out flat up. I mean, some of these guys, you know, many of them claim, you know, that they are born again. They claim that they are standing on the Republican platform. They claim that they are standing for truth and standing for what God wants. And I'm like, no, you're not. And some of those conversations have terminated. So they don't discuss anything else with me. But I will say that now there are there was only one representative that literally just would ignore me. I mean, literally, I would walk up, I would, you know, try to greet and everything else, and literally he would look at me and just literally walk away and just literally not even acknowledge me.
Could we go out on this limb and say that some of these members that are receiving these big donations from the Republican establishment, are they wheeling and dealing deals with big corporations and big businesses and big government instead of deals, you know, with voters and we the people?
I don't know that I could sit. I mean, like, if I could go back and trace the money trail, because as a former auditor, you know, I mean, I've not sit here and done an audit, but I mean, you know, so are they getting money personally or getting bribes or something like that? I mean, I can't say that, but the bottom line is that the establishment is driven by money and power and elections. So that, you know, big business funds through the Chamber of Commerce, you know, as long as the establishment swamp is their good boys and girls and they do kind of like their bidding and what they want, then they'll get money that's funneling in to the HRCC, you know, in through the Chamber of Commerce. So, I mean, I think the bottom line is that, you know, you asked basically, I think, you know, are they being funded or being funded by big business and everything else? I'll say this. I could go through a lot of different conversations, but there was one speech I did specifically, not in the 22 session, but in the, I think it was in the 21 session. I did it on the House floor. It was on an incremental, it was a worthless regulatory bill on abortion. You know, it was just regulating abortion. And I knew that in relationship to the speech that I was going to have to speak to the content of what the bill was about. Mm-hmm. And that if I spoke to something outside of the boundaries of that, I was to be called out of order. But I knew that this was something about something larger, and that was it was about money and elections. And that was they were doing this bill basically so they would look and smell good for the establishment swamp would look and smell good with their vote for the upcoming elections. So I said that. I said that on the House floor. I said this bill has nothing to do with saving babies. It has everything to do with money and elections. And I said that openly on the House floor. Well, and, you know, this is in the chamber. And the Speaker of the House said, Representative Jacobs, speak to the bill. And I turned around. I said, Mr. Speaker, I said, I am speaking to the bill. And he said, speak to the bill. So I knew I'd probably gone as far as I could without probably being called, like, completely out of order, that they would have probably escorted me off the floor. So, but I was trying to speak to the issue that, you know, establishment swamp is bought and paid for by big money corporations, yes, and they funnel money.
John, how have you and I never talked before?
I don't know.
Well, since I do have you,
I talked to a counterpart of yours down here in Indianapolis at WIBC. He's right behind Curt Nisley and I, so
I know exactly who you're talking about. I do want to circle back really quick while I have you because we are way out of time. But I want to circle back to constitutional carry. You kind of said it. You say what you mean what you say. So I want to ask you about this this recent legislation. It was passed here in Indiana, as we all know. It's something I followed very closely, and quite frankly, John, I could not get a single legislator, Democrat or Republican, to come on the air to talk to me about this legislation while it was moving through the House and Senate. It was so frustrating. So can I just ask you point blank, why was this so dicey for the GOP? Why on earth would no one talk to me about it? Because the only best educated guess that I have is because a lot of these people were not in favor of it, and because they're up for re-election, they didn't want to vote against it.
Yeah, that's right. You nailed it right there.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
No, not at all. Not at all. Back in 2019, when I started campaigning on my primary, I made it very, very clear that I was going to author a clean constitutional carry bill, that I was going to push for constitutional carry in Indiana. So in other words, I was being very preemptive in letting the establishment swamp know that I was going to be authoring a clean constitutional carry bill. Well, I can tell you this, the establishment swamp, they would rather die, I think, than allow Representative Curt Nisley or myself to have our names on those things. And that's fine. I mean, Curt and I are never looking for the accolades of having our names on legislation. I think it was Ronald Reagan who said, it's amazing what you can get done when you don't care to get the name recognition. Mm-hmm. And that was, so the issue here was, is that we were just strategy wise, we were just being preemptive, saying, I'm going to push for constitutional carry. Not because somehow or another I was trying to be gamey. It was just because I was saying, I believe in it. I believe in the Second Amendment. So I put this bill out there the first year. That was back in 2021. They ended up doing their own version of the watered-down bill with some red flag law in it, and then it ended up dying. Well, this year was election year. It was do or die for them. They knew they needed to get this. This has been mm-hmm. pushed and pushed. Well, I went ahead and came out with a clean constitutional carry bill again, and I basically said, before the next session began, I said I'm going to put this out there so the establishment swamp knew over and over that I was putting this out there, and it was making them look bad. So lo and behold, seven other more watered-down constitutional carry bills show up when mine show up in 22. I'm sorry, Kayla. I had never, ever heard of that. So, in other words, they were saying, there's no way we're going to allow Jacob to get the recognition on this. And we have got to get this thing pushed forward. They knew that this was a do-or-die issue for them for the 22 election, and that they were going to their necks were going to be on the line for it. So, and praise God, they ended up passing, it was somebody else's bill, but they ended up passing constitutional carry. And really, the governor signed that bill, by the way, with some, my understanding was, with a lot of political arm twisting behind the scenes.
You know, it reminds me of the quote, you had that quote there from Reagan. It reminds me of a quote from the former prime minister of Luxembourg, Jean-Claude Juncker. He said, "We all know what to do. We just don't know how to get reelected after we've done it."
Yeah, I mean, then that kind of ties. It's really something. I'm not a real original guy. I kind of beat the drum on a lot of some things that are just basic. I just tell people, it's always right to do right. As a Christian, for me, it's always right to do right, and it's always wrong to do wrong. And it seems like everybody can give lip service to that, but when it comes to really getting putting your feet and hitting the ground with it and actually putting it into action, they don't. And so with that, all I'm saying is that it's always right to do the right, and it's always wrong to do wrong. So it's always, you just do the next right thing. But for the establishment swamp, they don't understand that. They don't do that.
Where do things stand for you right now, going into the primary, when it comes to taking on your challenger with all this moolah? I mean, where are things for you right now? How's it going, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
Well, she's got about 9 times the money that I do. But you know, I'm not, you know, is it somewhat discouraging? Yes, to some degree, but you know, I think maybe some people would say, well, that's just kind of insurmountable odds. It's like, no, I don't think that the establishment swamp knows how to run a good campaign, but, you know, I've got a great campaign team. We are working really hard. We're just trying to get the messaging out there. I've been knocking door. I mean, we have literally hit every door. I think almost in my district, and you know, really, I would say the significant majority of the people that I talk to, if they're not aware of who I am, especially in the newer parts of the district, when I explain my platform and who I am, what I've done, and allow them the ability to be able to just to be transparent with them and go out and see what I've done, you know, usually they're like, oh yeah, you're the guy I want to vote for. I'm not voting for that establishment swamp person.
Well, Wobblelan, don't forget, primary day here in Indiana is May 3rd. John, thank you for your openness here on WoWo. Can I just go ahead and add you to my Rolodex?
You can.
That is John Jacob. He is running for re-election for state representative on the Republican ticket for District 93.
Podcasts by Federated Media.